KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KBOO at the Clinton Presents, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, Thursday, September 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. The Best Democracy Money Can Buy is a real-life detective story told in a film noir style with cartoon animation, secret documents, and hidden cameras to tell the story of renowned investigative reporter Greg Palast and his associate's journey to expose the darkest plans of the uber-rich to steal America's democracy. Again, that's KBOO at the Clinton Presents, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, Thursday, September 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. And as we mentioned yesterday, the tires are burning, the brakes are sharp, and we're running on fumes. I think that although that might not be apparent to most Americans who are still living their lives, it's definitely apparent to the rest of the world who wait with bated breath to see what Trump's next act will be and where that will leave the rest of us. Because there's the population of planet Earth and then there's Donald Trump. This is your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your DACA radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and of course, your fake news radio at 90.7 FM on the air, at kboo.fm, everywhere. And have we a theme today? Yes, we do. Nature bats last. And finally, it's being brought home to the proverbial average American that there are some things that cannot be stopped by technology, even though they are to a certain degree created by technology. Storms, for example, and fires. Who would have believed that a fire would jump the Columbia River? A fire only what, 24 hours in the making? Not a very old fire. It jumped the Columbia River. People that I spoke to and said, I asked, what about that? That is historic. That is outside history. That is really some kind of transcendental jump. And people basically said, it's a big fire, without any concept of what that would mean. That is what was more frightening to me than the fire itself, was the absolute lack of understanding, apprehension, or admiration for that matter, of an event. A very young fire had jumped the Columbia River. That really brings it home, or it should. People that I would have considered to be intelligent people, more perhaps intelligent than the average person on the street. These were smart guys, and the fact of the Columbia River jump had made so little impact. We are going to be speaking, though, today with Joy Keane from BART, who is going to bring us up to speed on the state of the watershed, what's left of it, and how Mount Hood itself might recover, because it's about pattern recognition in it. And pattern recognition is going to be at the forefront, probably the key component of how we people, as human beings, the progenitors of so much of our own woe currently, how we might be able to assist the watershed, the mountains, the rivers, the streams, how we might assist these in restoring themselves. Because in restoring themselves, they, of course, are restoring us, though we don't deserve it, I would argue. Whether for today, areas of smoke, I'll say, and how. Otherwise, mostly sunny. There we go. Oh, it's a nice day out, isn't it? It's lovely weather, with a high around 85 and a light southwest wind for tonight. Again, there is a chance of showers and thunderstorms. That's the good news and the bad news, of course. And it'll be mostly cloudy, lows around 65. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high around 75. And for tomorrow night, there is again nearly a 50-50 chance of showers and overcast skies with a low around 63. There's your weather for the next couple of days. Lately, a couple of days wasn't much time. Now it's a lot of time. Now a lot can happen. And we've got the hurricane barreling down on the Caribbean, 185-mile-an-hour winds. Again, this is a storm of historic proportions. I think we have Joy on the line right now. Joy, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Chris. How's it going?
Well, we haven't, myself, I can say I'm very happy that we did not have to evacuate. I have a very enormous horse. He weighs 2,000 pounds. I just can't, words can't describe him, but he doesn't fit in most horse trailers.
Yeah.
So this was going to be, evacuating Joey was going to be my major problem, but now it seems we're on higher ground, fire ground. We're on some kind of ground. I want to ask you about the watershed and Mount Hood. I myself believe that the best way to restore forests is to stay out of them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Although, you know, we all enjoy the gorge. It's a beautiful place to hike. You know, I think in the short term, I think people are really emotional right now. And I think first we have to focus on the people and make sure everyone's safe and make sure all the animals are safe. You know, reach out to your friends and family in the gorge and make sure that they are taken care of. And, you know, make sure that nobody brings themselves into harm out in the gorge. I know everybody's curious to get out there, but let the first responders take care of what needs to happen out there. You know, and so first and foremost, safety. But second, you know, BARC has been looking at the long-term health of the forest, and fire is it's a natural part of the ecosystem. It's, you know, to a woodpecker, a black forest is a beautiful forest, and someday it will be beautiful to us again too. We want to make sure that the forest doesn't receive any further harm. So if people are feeling really helpless and they want to get involved, we have lots of ways for them to ensure that the forest doesn't that the forest is protected in the future, you know, prevent salvage logging and that sort of thing. But you know, the forest will regenerate. A lot of forests actually need fire to regenerate. If you want to get involved, there's making sure that the people of Cascade Locks are taken care of and that they aren't further victimized by, you know, multinational corporations trying to steal their watershed. There's a lot of, there's a lot of resource extraction that can happen out there that we're working to prevent. You know, making sure that people don't act irresponsibly with, you know, with fireworks or, you know, a lot of logging practices actually can cause fires. And so BARC's been working to, you know, prevent extractive, you know, industries out in the forest. Currently, a lot of our staff and volunteers are actually out in Mount Hood National Forest right now. They've been there for 2 weeks at an event we call Base Camp, and they're currently out there ground truthing the largest timber sale we've ever seen on Mount Hood. And it's a timber sale that was promoted as preventing forest fires, creating fire resiliency, you know, and it's 13,000 acres. It's supposed to protect the forest, if you can believe that. And so we're trying to basically turn the, you know, the dialogue on its head, because, you know, anybody can look, if you go out and look at these forests, and I just did this literally a week and a half ago, and watched an active logging process, and it's heartbreaking. It was even more heartbreaking than watching the fire, because fire is a natural part of the ecosystem and logging is not. And so preventing, you know, logging out there will, you know, do so much more to prevent forest fires, because what people don't realize is that the forests contain a lot of carbon, and, you know, that's super important for preventing climate change. The reason that we are having these catastrophic fires is because we're not paying attention to climate change. And so, you know, actually addressing the fact that these forests, you know, are carbon sinks and can create resiliency by leaving them standing is super important. And it hasn't been part of the dialogue, and it hasn't been part of our forest plan. And we've been working to shine a light on that, about how outdated our forest plan and our forest practices are, because they don't take into account fire as part of the ecosystem. They don't take into account climate change and resiliency.
That's the thing. I wonder. I wanted to ask you about exactly that. As this is, we've created conditions that are outside, well outside the norm, and not taking that into account. So we have to expect fires and other. Fire is one thing. There may be other catastrophes, landslides and so forth.
Yeah.
Ahead of us, extreme changes
extreme weather.
Will produce the extreme conditions that we are unprepared for.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you talk a little bit long term? The best thing would be to keep people and all of their activities to stay out of the forest, no matter how well intentioned. Timber companies think they're doing everybody a big favor. Hikers think they're doing everybody. Just everybody stay out. But what sort of what would we want to do to stay in front of plans that corporations might have for exploiting catastrophe? Because that's what they do. They exploit catastrophe. Mm-hmm. What do we do to stay out in front?
Well, you know, Bark thinks that people should be in the forest, but, you know,
that's
in a
just
good
my
way.
Opinion. in a good way, yeah.
There's right. No way you're going to keep, you know, the millions of people moving to this area out of the beautiful forest. Mm. A lot of that is the reason that they moved here. But, you know, you can make it so that it's a protected place. And as we've been saying for years, the recreation industry brings way more jobs to Oregon than logging industry does. If you've ever gone out and seen this machine called a feller buncher. It's this big, huge machine that basically does the work of three or five men. Mm. And, you know, those are the reasons that we're losing jobs in the forest. You know, so we're working on a lot of projects. So you have to make people get into the forest and see what's going on. And then once they do, they will fall in love with this place and they will work to protect it. And, you know, you shine a light on the timber sale program with the Forest Service, and the fact that it, for years and years, has done nothing but lose money. You know, it's a government boondoggle, and the Forest Service could be doing so much more to proactively make the forest a healthy place, a place that where recreation can thrive as well as nature, habitat for endangered species, not to mention all the drinking water that we get from Mount Hood. You know.
And those are the terms that the argument has to be couched in. The benefit to all of us for
right. It's not just dollar signs for when you cut a tree down. It has so much more value standing as a natural, healthy forest for both the animals that live there and the people that get recreation and clean drinking water from it.
Joy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
So glad that you could talk a little bit about this. And yes, indeed, for us and for all of us, and it is all of our responsibilities to protect and preserve the forests that we all share. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, September 6, 2017. Engineering for us this morning, the indomitable Derek Hooks, also the AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek. This is Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening in. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.